The kids built, you probably saw the snow fort driving up the hill. So I thought, as I was watching when they were building it Friday, I thought, this is good. You come sliding down the hill into a frozen wall. And, it keeps my EMS skills up to date, I guess. Anyway, well, Happy New Year and welcome. 2020. I'm sure there are churches all over America that are having vision lessons today. I'm not going to do the vision thing today. Probably a lot of people are, 2020. How many of you right now, as far as you know, have 2020 vision, though? Whoa. Okay. Glad I didn't use that one. But, you know, we all make New Year's resolutions. I found this one on Facebook from one of our sisters here. My New Year's resolution is to stop putting my foot in my mouth all the time. I'll bet yours is losing weight, huh? I would never do that, of course, but we all got to work on something, right? So let's grow together. I've been thinking about my own spiritual walk with the Lord. What helps me grow in my faith? And you may think, oh, you're a pastor. It's no big deal to you. Talk to my family. Yeah, we're all flesh and blood. We're all in a process of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives to make us more like Jesus. But I do think there's some things that we can agree on that we share together is to really make the most of each day. And it's translated different ways, but Paul would say making the most, buying up the opportunity, that each day is a gift from the Lord. Many of you remember my uncle Walter Parker, and in his late 80s and early 90s, he'd say, when I'd wake up in the morning, I could sit up, put my feet on the ground. It's going to be a good day. I can do that much. Making the most of each day. And each day gives us the opportunity to get closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus. Each day is a gift for us to get closer to Him. And also, it gives us the opportunity to help others. I had a neat experience the other day. The FedEx driver in our neighborhood is a black young man from the Lewiston, Auburn area. And he, of course, noticed the church. English is his third or fourth language, so he's still working on English. But he'd asked me a couple times when he's delivered stuff. But Friday when he came in, he was armed. Now, I ran out in a T-shirt. I know some of you will spend all winter in T-shirts, Andy. But anyway, some of us don't. We wear a jacket. And so I went out to get the package, and he started our discussion again. And he's of the Muslim faith, so he has questions about my Christian faith. And I wish I'd had my jacket on, although he had a lot of deliveries to make, still does after Christmas. So our discussion will continue, I'm sure. But I thought afterwards, this is good for me, because how do you answer people from a different culture and faith about our faith and our relationship? So I immediately start rethinking and remembering what I learned about Islam and their feelings about Jesus. Jesus is a prophet to them, but he's not the greatest prophet. So I'm working through that, and he asked me in his broken English, how can Jesus be God's son? What would you do with that? What would you do with that? So we'll have more discussions. And I said, you can always come here. I said, right, you can always come here and visit. And he didn't agree with that. Then he said, do you have the Quran? I said, I do have a copy of the Quran. Oh, have you read it? I said, I've read parts of it. Oh, I said, do you have the New Testament? What's that? I said, we have a challenge going. So we'll continue to have more discussions, helping others. My thought is, desire is, hope is, you can put in whatever phrase you want. I would encourage you as part of our church family, if you would like to accept my encouragement or challenge, to try this as a daily devotional this year. I know we're at day 5, but you can catch up. It's not a big deal. I tripped over this. It's written by Dr. Paul David Tripp. I tripped over this about a year and a half ago. And I was familiar with this gentleman a little bit because he's one of the presenters in our Grief Share program. So in our video lessons, we see him from time to time. And he's a very, very good thinker. And someone else had told me, well, you know, he has a devotional. I went, no, I didn't know that. So we got the Kindle version. And Lois and I have been using this for about a year and a half now. And we've also used now for probably 6 years, 8 years, time flies, whether you're having fun or not. But we've used Sarah Young's Jesus Calling, and I've liked that one. That's very good. There's a lot. There are loads of devotionals out there. You can get email devotionals. You can get all kinds of stuff. But Paul David Tripp, I find very challenging, and I like a spiritual challenge. So I'm just offering that as a thought. How many of you, you've heard me refer to him before, and I'm going to again. How many of you have seen this or even used this? A couple of you have. Great. Half price at Hobby Lobby. We don't endorse any companies or whatever, but that's a good deal. Half price at Hobby Lobby. And then with that, we're going to start the study groups up again, and there's so much material out there available. It's hard to wade through it all and know what's going to be practical, relevant, helping. And Lois has read through this book. She's read some of it out loud to me. I've not read it cover to cover yet, but I'm a Max Lucado fan. And as I talk with other people that are working through issues in life, I remember talking with someone not long ago, and they said, well, in all the different things I've read, Max Lucado has, my paraphrase is, Christianity makes the most sense the way he presents things. And I went, well, that's a pretty good endorsement, because if it doesn't make sense, there's not much we can do with it. So we're going to use this. There's a video lesson that takes about 15 minutes. It's 13 lessons. But there is the book, the part that you read. Then there's a workbook that has questions. I have some workbooks out there. These are supposed to come today through U.S. Mail, the book. And it's about $20 for both books. And if you can't do that, we've had scholarships in the past. We'll make it happen. I think it'll be a really good journey together. Unshakable Hope, if I hadn't read it, I would have loved the title. And knowing Max Lucado through his books and hearing him at conference and stuff, I know he that's what he means. When we're really locked in with Jesus, building our lives on the promises of God. And by the way, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it, and we can talk about that on Monday evenings. Then Tuesday evenings, we're going to be doing Grief Share again, too. That will start up in another week. So our New Year's revolution, not resolution, but revolution. I think in Christianity, it's beyond resolutions. By the way, to change a habit takes how long? Newest research that I just read is 6 to 8 weeks. They used to say 30 days. So I thought, is the research changed? Or are we just becoming more resistant to change? And I thought, I would like to know the demographic. Who did they study? But we are resistant to change. That's our human nature. I remember years ago at one of the places where I worked, somebody said to me, if you go to the boss and say you think you have an idea for change and it's this, he won't accept it. But if you can make him think it's his idea, it'll happen. And I went, well, how do you do that? He says, it gets real tricky. You have to plant seeds. But he says, if he thinks it's his idea and it's a good idea, he'll make it happen. But if you come with him, even if it's a good idea, he won't make it happen. So this is how we change. We have to think it's our idea. This is a good idea. And then we might do it. It's a good idea to grow in grace. And as John DeBrine used to say on Songtime, when I was a teenager, my grandparents woke up to Songtime USA with John DeBrine. I think he was on the radio, I'll bet, over 50 years. Anyone know who I'm talking about? John DeBrine, Songtime USA, from Marblehead, Mass, was it? He was down by the Cape. Grown in disgrace. And he impacted a lot of other people and encouraged other people to grow in their ministry and radio ministry. Steve Brown down in Florida, he was a convert, I think, due to John DeBrine. Grow in grace or you'll groan in disgrace. A new year to grow in active faith. And then I thought of this verse. This is going to be kind of my theme verse for the year. You can pick your own or you can adopt this one. It's not a hard verse at all, but it's loaded with good stuff. Would you read it with me? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So who wrote this? Peter did. And I'm glad it's from Peter. Peter had his ups and downs and struggles, And but if this is his challenge as an older man, I think it's a good one. So I'm going to read from two passages this morning, starting the new year. There were so many. This, I love the Bible. There is so much in the Bible that we could turn to and focus on that would be super helpful. It was really challenging for me to kind of funnel it down, and I was praying, Lord, where do I focus here? There's so many good things that we could look at. And in our morning times together, we came across a passage Lois and I were very familiar with, and we went over it slowly. And it really ministered to us this past week. And I want to share part of that passage with you. It's from Isaiah, and it's the 40th chapter. And it's a great reminder of who our great God is. And of course, this is what I call pre-gospel, even though Isaiah is the Old Testament prophet who gives us such magnificent glimpses, except they're even clearer than glimpses of Jesus, our Messiah. But in this passage, it's not really a messianic passage, but it's God explaining who he is in kind of a unique way from other readings in the Old Testament. So I've grabbed quite a bit of that chapter, and I'm going to read through that now, and then we'll focus on a couple things. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. Get my slides. Here we go. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? I thought of stopping there, but I'm glad that he writes out what he does here, because this is what we're going to look at in a minute. The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workmen to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? In other words, we should get this by now. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number and calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We should know this by now, should we not? That our God is an awesome God, as the old chorus says. But we still have a problem. And Isaiah identifies it's here, and it's identified over and over again in Scripture. And it's something God keeps reminding me, and I believe he wants to remind you, that we trip up with our God's substitutes. Do you know what I mean by God's substitutes? They're either the idols, you might say, I don't have any idols in my life, not the way that Isaiah described them. No, but we have either people or things or events or goals that consume us. And those things, whether we are clearly thinking or not, become idols. They become the thing that absorbs my time, my energy, my resources, my money. Idols. And they're a distraction. They get in the way of seeing who God is. It's time to get rid of them. In the Old Testament, that's always the challenge back and forth. God rescues them, saves them. They follow other gods. God punishes them, rescues them, saves them, then they do it all over again. But to really focus on the one and only God and to focus on his greatness, How great is our God? We were spending some Christmas season time with some of my sister's family, and one of my sister's grandsons got a telescope for Christmas. So his uncle was setting it up for him, and my sister lives out by the lake, so there's a mountain across the lake, and they were zooming in on the mountain across the lake, and then he started talking about the stars, and I thought, what a great gift. How old is Silas? 12, 11, 10? 10. 10-year-old boy, I thought, if he gets him really fascinated with astronomy, what a great thing for a kid to start learning about space. Because we know still to this day so little about space. And I've told before, Christmas Eve, I talked about this acquaintance I made in a fishing trip that had an awesome telescope, and we went out and looked at the stars. It was spectacular. So space, what do you know about the stars? I'm not going to give you a long science lesson. When Pastor Rick's here, he loves to give science lessons, and I like science lessons. How many stars are, don't use your phone? How many stars are there in the Milky Way? Actually, nobody knows, but if you had to make an estimate, that's just our galaxy, right?
More than 10.
More than 10, that is correct. 200, they don't know. 200 to 400 billion stars in our galaxy. You can't process that. 200 to 4 billion stars in our galaxy.
1 month
in the national 10. Yeah, it's probably true. And then, they'll show you the rest of the slide here. And there could be 500 billion galaxies. So stars in the universe is some massive number that I don't even know how to identify. And then when I was looking at some of this stuff, there's just, it's endless. When you start looking at the science of space. And then, for me, you contrast that with cellular level discoveries, all these kind of things, deep sea discoveries. Everything around us declares genius of an incredible scope. And yet, people still live basically, I call it, in gross ignorance that the creator of everything around us is also the one who wants to know us and love us and save us if we'll just turn to him. What a God he is. What a God he is. And when my friend comes in next week from FedEx and we continue our discussion, I'm going to do a little more homework before he comes in. But Jesus isn't just a great prophet, is he? No, he is a great prophet, but that's not his only work. He is the one and only Savior, and he loves that young man and everyone else on the planet. God knows. God knows. My second passage is Jesus' words from Luke's Gospel, and after thinking of the greatness of God as described by Isaiah, then Jesus says this to translate that into not just this vast creator God, but the personal God who cares for you and me. So Jesus says to his disciples, and then we're in the middle of a lot of stuff going on here in Luke's gospel, but anyway, just jumping in the middle of the story. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. This morning I get up, after it was daylight, I looked out back, we have compost. Guess what was out in my compost? Crows. And I thought, you guys timed this really well. I should have had a picture of it. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, but Ron puts compost out, and they're taken care of, which neither have storehouse or barns, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Doesn't make sense, does it? Why are we anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. I like that translation. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. Instead, he says, change your focal point. But seek the kingdom of God, seek his kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then Jesus closes this little passage in Luke's account with some of the great New Testament words. Do a study sometime in the New Testament of where how often it said, don't be afraid or don't fear. It's a great little study. Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old and a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Because here's the principle. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Clear as that. So as you start the new year, how big is your problem? Or how big is your God? Right? How big is your problem? How big is your God? Spending time with the Lord. This is my testimony. When I spend time with the Lord in his word and prayer, I am reminded of these three things. One, I am able to have a relationship with a God that is all-powerful. Fundamentals of the faith class, what's the word for all-powerful? Or others, but we covered it in Fundamentals of the Faith. Omnipotent, all-powerful. He's all-powerful, but he's not a tyrant. We should respect him, fear him with respect, but we don't have to fear him because he loves us. There's a difference in the meaning of those words. And that love is translated into his care. God cares for us. He is way ahead of us. And I have to stop and think sometimes when I'm praying over situations and how do we deal with this, and I just think, God, that's already taken care of. He really is. He's out there way ahead of it. I just need to listen to him and get caught up. Jesus is all we need. This is from Tim Keller. He's a Christian pastor, author, and I love this one. You don't realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And sometimes the very life experiences that we hate the most, that we never would have signed up for, are the very ones that bring us right into next close proximity with our wonderful Lord and Savior. Amen? So it's grow in grace. Grow in grace. So we're going to close with a song that I thought of as I was going over the notes. We actually changed because wanted this one. God's sovereignty doesn't mean we're just victims of circumstance. He knows the outcome. You just kind of bump along. But it means we're under his care. He is generous and gracious to us. Amen. Are we ready? One, two, three, four. Two more. To win that stuff in our lives comes and hits us and we have that, you know, pit of the stomach moment. What do we do here to know, wait, you are always with us. Emmanuel, you said you'd never leave us or forsake you. I am with you till the end of the age. All these promises, they are fantastic. Our hope is in you, Jesus, as we start this new year. And because of who you are, it is, as Max Lucado would write, an unshakable, immovable hope. Our hope is in you. So help us as we deal with whatever tomorrow brings and the next day, that each time we turn to you or take a minute and look up into the heavens and say, my God made this. I am in his care. I'm in your everlasting arms. And that's a good place to be, amen. And then as you meet our needs, equip us, God, to share that with other people who don't know you, who are anxious, and rightly so, who are anxious. The world's a mess, but that we can help them to come to you and find what we have found in you, life, love, peace, joy, wonderful gifts of your spirit, amen. Well, we will just dismiss for about 5 minutes to set up for communion, so don't go far. Praise God. Amen.